The past week was a busy one. I started off Monday. Well, actually started off Sunday. I forgot to record the sermon. I should have known something was going to be coming up then. Monday morning, took off, had to drive down Savannah for a yearly company meeting. We have in different spots throughout the country. Meeting doesn't sound bad, but it's actually like 12 hours worth of meetings and mandatory events that you have to go to. And it's always so much fun. During the breaks and after work, I'd call or text people that I've been keeping up with and praying for and trying to keep up with what's going on at home as well. Braden is kind of flip-flopping. We have three occupations right now that are running neck and neck, and I was the same way at his age. So he's going to find his way. And so catching up with all his current events and checking in with mother, or more like checking in with poodle and then having seen how mother, you know, I'm kidding. I love you. And also with class as well. I'm taking ministry classes. I'm in my fourth week of this class. And the instructor thought on top of daily work, it'd be real good to add a couple extra assignments, only about 8-9 pages a piece. So yeah. That was fun. It was a fun week so far. On top of all that, I was averaging about 4 hours of sleep a night. Some weeks when I'm in a strain, when I'm in a hotel, I can sleep like a log. Some weeks I go to bed real early and I'm up at 2 a.m. And this was one of those weeks. Got home Thursday night, still couldn't sleep well, even in my own bed. Friday morning, got up, had two computers going, one for school, one for work. Was having to get caught up on stuff or I had to leave for an appointment. Then I was heading there, answered work emails as soon as I got off the road. After appointment, ran by a couple grocery stores, picked up some stuff for mom and dad for us. Then I got home, finished up my three class assignments Friday night. I'm sitting there Saturday morning thinking, okay, I haven't heard from the Holy Spirit all week. I've been praying about it. I hadn't heard. And then it kind of hit me. I thought I hadn't heard anything, but I think I really had. I started looking in the mirror. I ain't pretty to begin with, but I was more of a mess than I usually was this week. Realized how tired I was. And I was beginning to think that the message I wanted to get was right there all along. Caught up in a race, you can't win. I'm not anything special. I had this same feeling before I ever got on the road. Anyone with small kids, anyone with grandchildren, anyone working full time, who can relate? When Braden was little, scouts, karate, music lessons, and it seems like there was something else. Yeah. And all that kind of balancing out, so I don't have to tell anybody how this is with small kids. They have their hobbies. They're tired, and you're thinking, Lord knows I'm tired too. Working, a lot of folks working 12-hour shifts. I worked them for years, like 20, close to 20-some years. And that can wear you out. And on paper, it sounds really good. I've worked 3 days, and I'm all four. No, you work some just god-awful shifts dealing with really pleasant people that try your patience. The end result is you're so tired. It doesn't matter if you work a schedule like mine and have classes or you just raising a family and trying to and making a living. A lot of us, more of us are tired than we ever have been. Exhausted physically, mentally, spiritually. Researchers around the world, through various studies, they've all concluded the pace of life has increased anywhere from 10 to 30% over the last 20 years. And you think about, like, I grew up in the 70s and 80s. I was born in 71. Three channels. Every store closed on Sunday but the drugstore, Refco being open. I think it was open after 2. That was just wonderful. To now. If you wanted something, information, mom and dad bought 7 encyclopedias for me, one book at a time from Food Lion. It was community cash then, and that's your information. Now we have just instantaneous access to everything. What's it done for us? Study with 550 adults over the age of 25. 85% of them had indigestion. I take reflux medicine. Imagine most people in this room probably do. 6 out of 10 reported relationship issues. And another, and that same probably 6 out of 10 didn't want to do anything on the weekend, but they didn't stop till Sunday night. Between everything that's going on during the week, you got to wash clothes, you got the honey-do list, you got to get prepped up for the next week. And so it all begins again. And it can drown you out. There's 1 in 5 people that admit taking work home to finish over the weekend. Almost half are talking about how they feel stressed on the weekend. I know for me, it's Sunday afternoon. The reality of Monday starts coming in. And then I'm having to check the phone. I'm having to check flights. I'm having to check all this. For everybody else, it might be like if you deliver for work or if you do things like that, you got to start prepping for work and making sure you're there. So really, you don't even have a full weekend anymore. And then you're back to the hustle. What's it gotten us? About 15 minutes at supper. I can remember growing up, and some of y'all may be the same way, that supper was a way where you were able to decompress and you were able to get in touch with your family and see what's going on. You figured out what's going on with your kids and just don't have time for it. Almost 80% in the study admitted to excessive alcohol consumption. And alcohol, I've said about four. I've never had a problem. I used to drink. I've never had a problem with anyone drinking beer or a mixed drink. As long as you ain't hurting nobody, as long as it's in its right priority. When it takes the place of your family, that's not good. But a beer or a glass of wine or a mixed drink ain't never hurt anybody. And I'm not going to get up here and fuss about it. I think, though, a lot of us, and I've been guilty of this when I was younger, I got stressed. And that ain't the place alcohol needs to have in your life or drugs or gambling or anything else. But a lot of us are turning to it. Some other way to escape this pace. Got to looking at all this stuff and I realized how tired I was. And began to think about the message I wanted to get. Was right there all along. This need for speed and this push is also changing the way we're thinking. I've noticed it in the younger generation, but I can also see it in myself. I used to try and figure out why things were the way they were. How many times, especially after the internet, the smartphones, do you just digest the information and don't want to figure out why? You just kind of take it at face value. I find myself doing it now. I look at stuff on Facebook. And if it's on the internet, it's got to be true. So, and I have found myself looking at stuff and like, well, that. And I thought, let me look this stuff up to see if it's even real or not. Sad part is, some of it is, but we've kind of been dumbed down. Even, and I've seen in nursing, like we were always taught to critically think if a patient's presenting with a high blood sugar, if they're presenting with a fever, Why? What's causing it? Don't just treat the symptoms. Try and figure out what's causing it. And it's the same thing in any other aspect of life. If you're a mechanic, if you are some type of designer, whatever it is, symptoms are this. Why is it causing that? But through school, the younger generations, how we're having information fed to us, that's been broken down, and we're not seeing that as much. And we become scanners or decoders instead of trying to have a deeper understanding of what's going on. Biggest cost, I think, to the speed we're living at is human relationships. Instead of enhancing close bonds, technology has really got us where we can avoid people. I admit, I'm guilty of it. I would a lot rather text with somebody a lot of times than call them. I text a lot of prayers because the prayers last. People sometimes can go back and look at them. But I admit with some of my coworkers, I'd a lot rather just text them because I really don't want to talk to them. And I'm just being honest. And the problem with that is 90% of our communication isn't by what we say or the words, tone, the way we present ourselves, nonverbal. Nonverbal communication makes up 80% of what we say. Really. The tone, another 10%. And I've had emails and texts, and some of you may start smiling, that got misinterpreted and led to a lot of having to call me, wait, listen, I didn't mean that. There wasn't an exclamation. I didn't capitalize a single thing. Don't you people know the code? And it's broken some of our relationships. How many people have gotten ticked over a Facebook post, a text, or an email? I have. And it's all from, I can't interpret 90% of what you're trying to say. And a lot of times we maintain the illusion that we're more connected than ever based on Facebook likes and media feeds. And don't get me wrong, they're wonderful things. I use Facebook 5 days a week. I'm on it the other two. And it's neat. I think we all have an inner Facebook stalker that we want to see what's going on. And we all see drama and we're just so glad it's not us that's doing it. It's kind of like a soap opera. We enjoy watching it, but we're glad it's not in our own family. And there's part of us that does that, but it's also taking the place of relationships. True, honest relationship building. It's instant, though. Everything is impulsive. Our sense of connection exists in the action, but not in accumulated, deeper experience. True relationships, it takes time, and there's good and bad stuff. It's kind of like building up muscle. Sometimes you have to tear it to make it better. And it comes from weight and stressing. And we are quickly, and it doesn't matter if you're 80 or 8, we're getting away from that. And it's all in the speed and keep on going. And what's all this energy and effort being used for? I started thinking about my own week. I became so distracted with stuff and tasks that I lost sight of what I was supposed to be doing. There are a lot of weeks that I'm led out and I'm led to talk to people and I don't understand it. I have things, and I'm not special. We all, if we look at it, there are people that we have an urging that we need to talk to. We need to do something. The world drowns that out for me personally. Sometimes I don't hear it, and I miss opportunities to do God's work. I think we all do. This past week was kind of like going on vacation. It's supposed to be a way to relax. But how many times have you gotten so stressed out that you're ready to get back home, go back to work from vacation? That's mother. I love her to death. But we cannot go on a vacation without her wanting to make sure everything's perfect. And with me and Braden, that let's just say our standards are not high when it comes to vacation. We got to buy something from Walmart. It's all right. My other half, no. We're packing like we're invading. And she wants us to have this just wonderful, wonderful time. And we always do, but she never does. She gets very stressed out from trying to make sure that we have all our stuff. And she's just ready for it to be over with. Now, me and Braden have great vacations, but we're trying to get her to have one. Our efforts to get more stuff done, they become a trap. Instead of working smarter, we just work a whole lot harder. And I find myself working, at the end of the week, what did I do? What did I get accomplished? I still got half of what I had on the to-do list at the beginning of it. People have always been prone to running through life by actually living life and living for God. How many people do you know or you knew that you went to their funerals, what had they done? And I don't mean grand things, but I mean, were they there for their family? What kind of person were they? Did you really know them? Or were they running so fast that you never ever got time to? Best people I've ever known were people that won't make it in the history book, but they were there for their family. They were a source of comfort when family was in distress. They were a person that you could always, they were just amazing under the most amazing circumstances. They were people that they never forgot who they were, what they were, and how to enjoy each day. Whether it was a simple enjoyment and it was just a smile at somebody, just to say, hey, it's going to be all right, we've had worse. The pace we're living saps a lot of that away. And we forget that's really what living life's about. Well, almost all of us have good intentions. Very few people start off. There are some evil people out there in this world. There are, but most people start off pretty good intentions, but they get sidetracked. I started off Monday real good intentions, and buddy, I got sided over to the sidetrack before long. Paul recognized this during his ministry. This is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. First verse, therefore be careful of how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Paul wrote this letter to the church of Ephesus. And he started this church about 50 years after Jesus returned to heaven. Ephesus was home of one of the seven ancient wonders of the world, the Temple of Artemis, and it was just gorgeous. It could hold over 24,000 people. It was all the congregation of this church were first-generation Christians, Jews or pagans who were converted over. And there were distractions and spiritual dangers all over. Because if you think about it, you weren't born a Christian. You were born either a Jew or a pagan. Pagan, you believed in a lot of different gods. Even the Greek gods had some really different ideas compared to Christianity. All that's around you. None of that stopped after you became a Christian. When we get in a hurry, we can get easily distracted. And it's not usually a good thing when we get distracted. The devil preys on distraction. How many of us have bought things without really thinking about it and have buyer's regret? Just caught up in the moment, kind of distracted, seemed like a good idea at the time. You realize that probably would have been a good idea to call a plumber. How many of us have been there before in hindsight? Yeah. Verse 16, making the most of your time because the days are evil. In Ephesus, as in our world today, there are spiritual dangers out there. Sometimes pastors and the mega church pastors and the folks that go around from place to place, there's not evil. There's just people that do evil things. No, there's evil. There's spiritual evil in this world. If you don't take any other thing away, there is a spiritual evil. For God, the Holy Spirit, his disciples, there's a negative. There's Satan, there's a demonic presence, and there's his minions. Bible records it. For every plus, there's a minus. And they're out there. They take a lot of forms. One of the biggest dangers in our time we can face comes from wanting to do the things that we want to do in our time. Want our will to be done quickly. Now, wait's a tough word to deal with in today's busy world. There are a lot of people out there who are happy to help us with their teachings and beliefs. There are people out there that call the Bible antiquated. There are people out there that try and expose the flaws to it. The Bible's God-inspired. It's 66 books. If he asked, Paul wrote like a third to half of the New Testament. There are multiple authors. They're all going to look different. And God used them at different points at different times to accumulate this. Who's got time for a Bible? When we're distracted and stressed and living by the law of the jungle and our own will, we're exposed to the evil and the false teachings in this world. There's a sin nature in us. There's part of the image of God. There's a sin nature. They fight. Kind of similar to a Cherokee proverb. there was an old man sitting there, told his grandson, "Son, each of us are two wolves. One," and the old man described the fruits of the flesh: lust, greed. The other one described, the other wolf, he basically described fruits of the spirit. Cherokee, very unusual in a lot of their beliefs, a lot of them mirror our own. The grandson asked the grandfather, "Who wins? The one you feed the most. How do we feed it?" This. And living it. Not just talking it, living it. Satan could quote scripture. He didn't live it. And whichever one we feed the most, whichever spirit, the sin nature, or that little tiny piece of the image of God. Paul talked in verse 17, "So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Paul touched on the key point here. How many of us actually ask God for what His will in our lives? Have we gotten that busy? I have sometimes. I'm ashamed to say it, but I have. How many of us are too busy to pray? How many of us are too busy to go to church? I have found myself being turned off by church in the past. I found myself leaving church because it wasn't a good, the church I was at wasn't a good fit. I came up with a lot of reasons. I was going to church for people. I should have been going to church for God. If you find a place that is a better spiritual fit for you than here, Lisa and I are going to be one of the happiest people in the room for you. As long as you're going somewhere that you feel comfortable, whether it's here or First Baptist or wherever, as long as you're going somewhere where you're comfortable at. But you need to go somewhere. We're not meant to be alone. We need to be members of a pack, less likely to be preyed on by the predators. Are we too busy to have a devotion time? It's hard for me to have a devotion time. A lot of times I have to do it driving up the road. I'll listen to something. I pray. And that's where a lot of my prayer comes from. I have to pick out a few minutes here and a few minutes there. And it's tough. It's tough to maintain that. But it helps. If we do go to church, are we too busy to serve in it? And by serve, I don't mean be taken advantage of, but let your heart be open that if there's something that the Holy Spirit's put on your heart, and it might be church, it might be helping with senior citizens, it might be helping with a neighbor. If the Holy Spirit's putting on your heart, follow through with it. Because I'm just one little piece of this. It's our church, our home. I'm just one little part of it. Because I'm hoping this church continues way after God calls up another one to replace me. Is it our time or is it our priorities? The church of Ephesus would be one of those churches that Jesus spoke about in Revelation. He spoke about seven different churches. Jesus warned them that they were turning away from their first love. I think they had a love for saving people and a love for their church, and it got turned. It got soured. I believe that as the church became more successful, they started turning away from that. And I think Paul's verse in Ephesians is warning by it. They didn't pay attention. This church, one of the original seven Christian churches in the world, died 150 years after Paul wrote this letter. We could talk to ourselves 20 years in the future. What would our older selves say to us about our fast-paced lives right now? Keep it up, or I wish you had slowed down. What would Jesus say to us? Jesus had an experience with this himself. This took place in Luke chapter 10. It was right after Jesus talked about the Good Samaritan. Him and his disciples traveling along, went to a village, and they knew the village well. They were going around the countryside, and they entered the village of Lazarus that Jesus had raised from the dead. He lived there with his two sisters, Martha and Mary. Hospitality was a huge thing in Jesus' time. It was customary to offer the strangers meals and a place to rest, and it was a big deal. And Lazarus was far from a stranger, though. He was friends with Jesus. He had restored Lazarus to life. Martha really wanted to show Jesus how much she appreciated. She'd run around like a chicken with her head cut off, trying to get everything ready, and trying to make everything perfect. She's running all over, and what does she see? Mary, sitting there at Jesus' feet. That Mary, she's always like that. Just always, always, always. Think of some with sisters. And she was building up a nice little round of indignation. She was just going to let Mary hold it. Mary's sitting there like a pump on a log. Worthless. Not this time. So in verse 40, she's talking to Jesus. Jesus, do something. Spoke her mind to Jesus. Why am I running around like this and Mary's just sitting here? Have you ever been like Martha? I have been. Running around trying to get stuff ready. And look. It figures. As I'm flicking a flower in my face and trying to look distressed. Running around trying to get all this stuff done. Trying to be efficient and productive. And I look around and see somebody wasn't working like they were fighting a fire. I get mad. Lazy bones. Slacker. Goofing off. But Jesus told him, Martha, you're worried and bothered by so many things. Mary's chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. When I get to these verses, it makes me stop in my tracks. I got in a trap this week of marking things off the list like Martha. I was marking stuff off, making commitments. I got too busy trying to get things done. I almost forgot why I was doing them. Large part of this, the ministry classes, checking in with people, it was laid on my heart. The living I've been given, it was a blessing. But all, God, my family, everything else. And I got all of those priorities mixed up. Mary was focusing on Jesus as a priority in her life, and she took the time to devote herself to him, to listen to him, and to speak to him. I look back on my life, I realized I was reading religious books, told me how to deliver messages. One of them was from Andy Stanley, another one Dennis Kinlaw. But I wasn't reading this book much. This got it all right here. I made all kinds of phone calls, texts, emails, dictation-enabled emails and texts, going between Georgia and South Carolina. Didn't practice an email like I need to. Didn't pray like I normally do. I prayed, but it was not like it should have been some days. I used the GPS to get where I needed to for work. But I didn't use the GPS like I should have. God's word, prayer, and silent time. That silent time spent listening to God. He sends things back. I was like Martha, who was focused on getting everything ready for Jesus and to serve him. She almost missed the opportunity to hear him. Really hear what he was saying and to talk to Jesus. Could you imagine the opportunity to actually talk to Jesus and listen to him? As we get ready to go to prayer, what speed's your life traveling at right now? More importantly, where are you traveling to? Where are you getting your directions from? The world or the Word? There's nothing wrong with hard work or wanting to better yourself or do a good job. Please don't think I'm saying that. God gives you the ability. He wants you to use it. And we all got to make a living. We all do. It's just the way we are. It's the way of this world. But just don't get so consumed with what you're doing that you forget why you're doing it. We work for our family. We work to enjoy those things we like to do when we're out from work. We won't be there for our family. We won't be there first as a husband, a wife, a father, a mother. And we want our kids not to make mistakes we've made. And we want our kids to be the best they can be. How can we be that way? Spend a little time in there. And that's hard. And if you don't feel like getting a Bible, get an app. You can get one for free. You can just look at a verse a day. A verse a day will help you because it will probably be that verse that you need to hear. I know that's been my experience. If you don't like the answer to the questions I asked a little earlier, where's your life traveling at and where you're traveling to, go to God in prayer for direction, for guidance. Ask for His directions for your life. I find myself sometimes putting in an order. A God pizza. Double this, hold this. I'd be guilty. I'm guilty of it just like anybody else. But ask for His directions. Ask Him to set your priorities. You don't want to come to the end of your life and have a beautiful resume, awards, money, but you got too busy for Jesus. You got too busy for what Jesus has for your family. Going to get everybody to stand with me. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then the altars will be open. Music will be playing. If it's on your heart, come up here or pray from your chair. Just talk to God. Don't have to be fancy. Just honest and humble. And Heavenly Father, we come to You in prayer. Father, a lot of us are in high gear. You know I have been. You know I haven't been able to listen to You this week. When I did listen to You, realization I missed out. Father, I think there may be others like me in this room, maybe others like me listening to this sermon. Help us to come to You. Father, reveal Your will for us, Your plan for us, not our plans for You. Father, lead us in the smallest to the largest of things. Father, every interaction, every decision, every word. Father, guide us. Father, You know we have to make a living in this world. You know that. That's the reason why You guys here doing what we're doing. Father, help us not to forget You. When we go out into the world, help us carry You out there, Father. Help us to be able to hear what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us. It may be a small thing for us to do, but Father, it can mean so much to someone else. A card, a kind word, a cup of coffee. We got leftovers. Let's carry them supper, Father. But it can mean the world to someone else. Father, we know that someone can't help everyone. But everybody can help someone, Father, and that's what You have on our mind. That's what You have on our hearts. Help us to listen. Help us to understand. Prepare us for what we're called to do. And, Father, help us to find that balance in this world where we make a living and we still serve You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.